All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Advantage. I am your host, Bob Dietrich, and today we have a very special guest on our show. We always have a very special guest, don't we, Thomas?
We do.
Well, his name is Thomas Mangum. Thomas, what can I say about Thomas? I've known Thomas so well, it's hard to figure out what the highlights are because there's so many. But Thomas is a professional speaker. He's been one for quite some time, and Thomas is really going to talk about his path to success. How did he get started in the speaking industry? So you can actually use that information for yourself to maybe get some epiphany moments or some ideas of where you want to go and how you might start your own speaking career. So Thomas, welcome to our show.
Hey, thanks so much for inviting me over, Bob. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Well, Thomas, let's jump right in because we've got lots to cover today. And really the objective today is to, you know, kind of talk about what your path was as far as you starting out as a speaker, you know, picking your topic, how'd you get involved and things like that. And let's start with, when was it the first moment that you decided you wanted to be a public speaker?
I don't think there was a moment where I decided that I wanted to do it. I would say it's a less traditional path. I cannot honestly say at this moment that it was like, oh man, I wish I could be on the stage. I never had that in me, Bob. I mean, I didn't. I was the reluctant speaker, I believe. People just encouraged me, you know. They kept giving me the opportunity, and there's lots of ways I can go with that. So obviously, you know, you just point me in the right direction because I don't want to tell a half an hour story.
No. That's good stuff. Because there are some people out there that are being encouraged to go into public speaking. So this is actually closer to some people's path. You know, it's not everyone's, and that's why we have this kind of conversation with many different speakers, because there are an infinite number of paths. And I think that's really important for people to understand that, you know, although you're going to hear somebody else's path, it doesn't mean there's one path to public speaking. There are an infinite number of entry points, an infinite number of ways to get there. But by hearing someone else's success story, it'll give them ideas of what they could do that they're not currently doing. So understanding that you were encouraged to move forward and you were asked to do it, did you start getting paid for it right away, or how did you start getting paid as a speaker?
Oh, gosh. Well, I'll keep it concise. You know, I think my time in front of a group of people really began as – you know, I needed some kind of job. I needed some to do something. There was a time back in the mid '90s where just going through a really tough time, and a friend of mine turned me on to software training. And he goes, "Oh, I think you'd really be great at it." And I looked at him like he was on drugs, because up until that point, I'm thinking, "Are you serious? You honestly want me to get in front of a group of people?" And I guess I remember being really super cynical. I think the last thing I wanted to do was teach, because I kept thinking of it was a teaching kind of a thing. Like, if anybody that's up in front of a group of people, it's teaching. You can call it a trainer, a speaker, whatever. It was teaching. And I was thinking, that's the last thing that I want to do. It wasn't that I was ever scared of getting in front of a group of people. Because we know, Bob, everyone's got different anxieties, right? I mean, different things.
Right.
Like, oh, scared to in front of people, but they want to do it. Me, I was thinking, is just, I guess there's no other way to put this. This is the way that I remember it, is I just thought people were dumb. And I was like, well, I don't want to teach a bunch of people something. And, you know, it was really about how good I could communicate something. But I was thinking, you know, I don't want to teach somebody something and I don't have the patience to teach anybody anything. And I'm just going to snap on people. And very cynical. But anyway, I needed a job, right? And that's what it came down to. Got into it, started in software training, and I found out I had a knack for it. It was crazy. I mean, from the beginning, Bob, the beginning, even in software training, I mean, this is working for a software company. I quickly moved into consulting and doing other speaking type of opportunities, presentation, sales support, you know what I'm talking about, technical sales support, got, you know, more into sales presentations or assisting with that kind of thing. And then I just somehow I had developed some talent. It didn't start with Toastmasters. It didn't start with the Train the Trainer course. It was kind of backwards, if that makes sense. And people just kept encouraging me. One thing led to another. I went to another company at that time. Also, like a lot of folks, exploring the entrepreneurial side of themselves. I explored some business opportunities where I, you know, needed to do some kind of presentation. I figure most of your listeners probably have experienced something like that. And, you know, this gave me an opportunity to get in front of different groups of people. And I kept getting feedback, good and bad feedback, but I got a lot of feedback, is that, man, you know, you got a good voice. You have a good stage presence. Like, you know, how did you learn that? And I'm not going to lie to anybody, I don't know. I mean, maybe I took direction really quickly from people. Maybe it was just something that I had. Maybe it's something I brought from the military, because I was in the military and I was an interrogator, and I certainly learned something about people's skills and reading the audience, and so maybe that helped.
Yeah, that's an interesting perspective. So you, it sounds like you didn't go through a Toastmaster or Dale Carnegie or anything like that. It was basically you were kind of pushed into it through your work. And then they kind of gave you the topic. Would you say that's accurate? They gave you the topic to speak about and you had to learn it?
Yeah, absolutely. Initially, it's so interesting because today I know, I get to meet people that are like, how do I get into public speaking, or how do I get into training or facilitation or something like that? And it's always odd. And I said, listen, guys, I have a non-traditional story. I kind of was thrown into it. That was the job opportunity that was available to me. I'm like, oh, God, well, all right, I'll try it. And I was good at it. And there's other people that are waiting in line for these kind of jobs, right? So initially they gave me that material. But then I learned, hey, you know, I got something here. I might as well make good use of this. And so that just kind of, you know, one thing led to another. And, I was even working for a real estate training company. And I got to tell you, that started as just wanting to invest in real estate, Bob. You know, I mean, I had some other gigs, some other jobs and stuff going on, and management consulting and training. And those just came by, you know, like I wanted to explore entrepreneurial opportunities. And here I am learning something about real estate investing. And the guy that's actually teaching me at these seminars and things like that, like, hey, you know, could you help me out up here a little bit? And so put me on stage. And he goes, man, the audience really likes you. Would you be interested in teaching this course? And would you be interested in sharing about this or teaching this? And, Bob, that's what happened. You know, I like to tell people that I know that want to get into public speaking is, well, the speaking is all around you. And take every single opportunity to support people that already have a stage and then watch them invite you into sharing the stage. I mean, that's a good way to get a stage. I think it looks difficult to me to go from 0 to 60, like to be saying, hey, I want to come to your stage, and they don't know you. So a lot of my opportunities over the years, I mean, there's so many different stories in there, I mean, you know, that we could go over. I think almost every single one of the things, the great opportunities, I mean, paid, Bob, like paid speaking. It didn't always start with paid speaking. It started with being a support to somebody else that already had a stage that people were paying to see. So I may be supporting a speaker friend of mine, you know, working on his crew, volunteering. And this, you could be, I mean, everything. This could be your church, you know, church group, maybe some kind of seminar series they have. It could be transformational training, personal growth training you're going to, business training. You could be learning real estate investing, or you could be in a network marketing opportunity, whatever. You know, where could you share the stage with someone where the credibility is shared? In fact, I once had a mentor say that to me, and he goes, listen, man, I want you to come on up here because I promise you my audience will automatically think you're a thing, think you're a big deal in quotes. Because it's a transfer of credibility. he didn't have to say anything. He could just have me up on stage and he goes, "Hey, I just wanted to introduce you to Thomas. He works with us here over at such and such company." And so Thomas, let's work through this little role play here and let's do this. And you come off the stage, Bob, and people are like, "Hey, so that's so cool," and da 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 da, and how long you been doing it and all that. And I'm thinking, huh, that was cool. And so one thing leads to another, and that kind of parlays into something else. "Hey, could you speak to my group? You know, I know you work with so-and-so. Could you speak to our group?" And da-da-da-da. And it kind of happens that way, including where I am right now and working with my business partner. And, you know, I do my own speaking, and then I also have some affiliate relationships, strategic relationships. And there's a buddy I work with that does a lot of team-building training and things like that. And people always ask, "Hey, how did you get this?" Yeah. Oh, sorry, I got off track. Go ahead.
Yeah. No. No, that's okay. Let's get into that in a second because we're going to dive into that just in a moment.
Okay.
But what I wanted to kind of note here is that you're the second person in a row. We talked to Barbara Kazam on our last show, and Barbara was saying almost an identical story as you were, which was.
Right.
Non-traditional, didn't start in Toastmasters, didn't start at Dale Carnegie or National Speakers, started from my job. My job, hers was like, you know, she wanted to do some training. She liked training more than she did her regular job, and she wound up doing training. And she was working for a seminar company at the time. Now, you were working for, it sounds like you were working for another company as well. Was it a seminar company you were working for?
Kind of. I mean, there was multiple, kind of. It's close.
Okay.
It wasn't
but the
a job
point
per
was,
se,
is it?
You know.
Right. But it's, the point was, it wasn't exactly what some people are thinking. Like, you know, hey, now I got to go out and talk to one of these big companies and see if I can't get them to hire me to come in and train on my first gig. It's not like that. It's more like, hey, I want to. I'm going to start working as a volunteer with somebody else who has a stage, get that transfer credibility, or I'm going to work for a seminar company who will give me the topic and I'll learn it and I'll start presenting it and I'll build the skills. And then once I build these skills and I've got the you know, the topics down and stuff, then I can start going from there. I can start moving into my own type of thing. And it sounds like that's what happened with you as well.
Yeah, I will give one little caveat, and I think it's this is one thing that I emphasize with anybody that asks me is like, "Hey, how do I do what you do? How do I get there?" I mean, these questions come in every single week. There's no week goes by without at least one person contacting me about this, and even it can be a friend that just finally asks. And I always say is like, listen, I find that either it's human beings or the people that I attract, they want a formula and they want a checklist and the exact process. Hey, what education do I need, Thomas? What training do I need to be a trainer? Exactly what do I need to do that's going to cause me to get a paid gig? And I guess I get a little frustrated sometimes because I just don't find that there's one path to the same objective. It's far more important for someone to have a clear vision of what they see on the other side. Like, tell me, what does it look like? And you know, and I've had, I'm thinking of one person right now. And what does she say? She goes, "Well, to be a paid speaker." And I said, "Well, you know what? Respectfully, that means 100 things to me. Because I can get you a free nonprofit. So I can get you speaking every single day for a nonprofit here in San Diego, California, that they would love for you to be doing outreach for them." And she goes, "Oh, no, I want to be paid." "Oh, okay. Well, you could be a software trainer, a technical sales trainer. You know, you could do, I mean, there's a million different ways." I'm like, no, I want to do my own thing. And it's like, okay, see, that's my point, is behind what is a vision of what it really looks like for you. Because the entrepreneurial route, there's multiple entrepreneurial routes, and there's multiple take-a-job route. Some people are really happy. "I just want to be a trainer. I want to be an HR trainer at a big brand in Los Angeles." Okay, great. Now I know. Let's help you get that. That's totally different than, let's say, you, Bob, that wants to be a world, you know, to be a, the world's leading transformational trainer. I know I'm sort of making it up, but I might be close, you know, and traveling the world. That's a different beast. I say that could be a completely different path.
Right, right. And that is a great point. And, you know, so people can take multiple different paths, but being clear on where you want to go is important, and also being open to maybe it's not going to look that way initially, and you have to build up to that direction.
You got
to
have a vision, though. Like, I mean, I'm a big believer in,
right.
I know I'm here. Like, if this is A, we're going to call it A as an apple.
Right.
Like, right where we are is A. I'm really clear what I have and all of that. And then if I want to get to C out there, I can see in the distance. That's the vision of where I want to go. I think it's okay to be, you got to be okay with the how-to in the middle. Because, you know, some people are overly attached to the B part of the equation. That middle part of how to get there. Like, well, I need a graduate degree, and I need a psychology degree, and a communications degree. Why? I mean, maybe, you know, but it's not magically going to equal getting to where you want to go. Just something to mention. Maybe
right.
That's my cynical stuff.
Right.
It's just, it doesn't
no,
have
no,
to.
No, that's good stuff. Yeah, and you've mentioned on several occasions that there is not necessarily a formula for getting booked to speak. It is a process that you kind of have to feel your way through, and it's there's techniques that you can use that'll help you do that, like building likability and building trust and familiarity with companies. And
Bob,
the likability
you just reminded
thing
me of something.
Is a real big deal. Mm-hmm. Sure.
You actually just reminded me something by calling that back and reminding me of what I said. Like there's no formula, there's no process. You know what's strange about that is? There is. It is. There's a formula. It just might not be the same formula that I personally feel a lot of people are pursuing and hoping it's going to get them the results of being a full-time paid speaker. So there is a process. There are things to follow. And I suspect that many people simply don't want to follow the real process to the results. And what I mean by that is creating, you know, building and cultivating these relationships. You mentioned likability. There is no way in heck that I would be doing what I'm doing right now if it wasn't that I invested in relationships. And I don't mean just check them off in a box of like, ooh, talk to these people. You know, magically I'm going to get this result. But I did stack the deck in my favor, Bob. That is part of the process. Because if I'm out there being of service and doing something that my friend Bob Berg likes to say, he wrote all the Go Giver books. You might be familiar. And, you know, Bob calls it being a go giver. You know, always be given. And I don't mean bleed yourself dry, that kind of giving, but truly be of service to someone. And they can't help. They can't help themselves with keeping you in mind. It doesn't magically mean you're going to get something. But he goes, if you're really out there doing good and being of service to people, it even connects to the old Zig Ziglar saying, you know, helping up people get what they want and get what you want. It's related to that. Be a good person out there. Like, I mean, do some good. And everything, every single one of my gigs and everything I do now, it's because I was willing to say yes and help people get things. You know, and then these opportunities just come to me and he goes, hey, man, really like how you did that. Would you be interested in this? You know, you think you might want to work together. You might, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then here we are. I mean, you go to my website now, connectwiththomas.com, and you see my clients. I have to pinch myself sometimes, and I'm serious. Like, I'm like, holy crap, how did that happen? And it's cool. I'm surprised sometimes. But it's relationships, man. It's not using people as a tool to get to something. It is focusing on the people, individuals. It's how I got to this call. You know, I mean, this is why you invited me over to this call. I feel the opportunities that you created in my life is because I got to focus on you as an individual. I didn't work, quote, work you to get something, you know, so I could get something. I just figured, how can I best support you, Bob? You know?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good stuff. And so it's not like the process, the step-by-step process or formula that you think it is. It's a different step-by-step process. It's almost like a personal growth process of building your own self, building your likability, building your relationships, and being able to have those conversations with people. And you know, Thomas, now that we're talking about it, this is interesting because I've done sales for a number of years now, well over a decade, and what I've noticed is that when I used to think about sales, it used to be about, you know, getting people to buy something, and in the back of my mind, in parentheses, it was like that they didn't really want. You know, that was like my idea of sales back in the day before I was in sales. But now it's not even getting people to buy something. It's building a relationship with people and finding out if they really need it. And once you know that they need it, then you can talk to them and have conversations with conviction about how great that thing is. And in this case, we're talking about your knowledge, your content, the value that you could provide on stage, and maybe you're not the fit, and maybe you refer it to one of your speaker friends or somebody else, and maybe someday you will be the fit with this company, and maybe you'll get a referral some way else. So, yeah, that's a great point. And, you know, focusing on the relationship, building the relationship is awesome.
Right. You know, that's something I call that's an emotionally intelligent, emotionally mature individual. And if we just really stop for a moment, and then, you know, whoever's listening to us here, is that you got to understand, like, being okay with really helping someone and not really seeing, you know, not being overly attached to what I'm going to get out of it. Really, truly focusing on another individual, there's a lot of emotional intelligence and emotional maturity with that. Because what could be coming up in with me? I could be thinking, like, oh, man, why am I doing this? I got other things I could be doing about putting money in my pocket or whatever. And me.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob, I know it may not sound completely clear to everybody listening, and I just had this conversation this week with somebody I'm mentoring, and I said, you know, Julie, I don't know why it happens, but every single time I give, and when I say give, I mean just give my heart, my soul, my knowledge, my wisdom, my resources, whatever, to you and her colleagues that I'm mentoring, is so much stuff opens up in my life. And the really fascinating thing is, it's not part of my plan. It wasn't that, hey, if I help Julie and her colleagues, you know, stuff is going to happen. It's like I'm so fully focused on being there for these individuals, like this woman Julie, is that abundance in these other ways, and I know this can probably sound woo-woo and crazy and like, what is drug is he on? I don't know how to explain it. And stuff opens up. It's just, it's like this old school karma thing, you know? I don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's like the law of attraction really works or something like that. But it does happen that way.
Yeah.
So that's good. That's good stuff. So let's talk a little bit about your topic. I know working with hundreds of speakers, I know that where people sometimes get stuck and they don't move is with their topic. And you and Barbara on our last show both had indicated people gave me my topic. I had to learn it and then go in front of the audience to teach this thing. And sometimes the audience knew more than I did, and I had to get used to that whole process. And then it was later that I actually started choosing my topic. It sounds like that's what happened to you. Is that correct?
Well, to some degree, yeah. That sounds pretty close.
Okay, and then when did you shift to a topic that you wanted, or did you just continue to expand the one that they gave you what it is today?
Well, you know, I think like most entrepreneurs, it was all over the place. Like I may have had something, my passionate stories and things that I really wanted to share with the world. When I embrace that this is a modality, a method of communicating with people that I was really digging, you know, getting in front of a group of people. And So I have my passion projects and things that I really want to share with the world. Then I might have a gig where I was, you know, helping out with a real estate training company that I was learning from, and then I became a teacher for. And then, you know, another training and seminar company I was working with that had me out there doing such and such training. And so it's a mix, if that makes sense. And I suspect Barbara had the same thing. It's like, if you're a speaker, you're a speaker. If you're a trainer, you're a trainer. A facilitator, you're a facilitator. So that's what I always say is, like, I'm a professional facilitator because I know how to – you've watched me. You've actually come out and flown out and, you know, watched me, so you have an idea of what I do, is that I consider myself a professional facilitator. And so I know how to move groups. I know how to make sure that people learn faster, that people actually retain what they learn, and most importantly, apply it out there. But notice I didn't say anything about what the exact topic was, because you could give me any topic. And I think that's something to look at. It is like, okay, so, you know, I may be an expert in a couple of topics, but even bigger than that, I'm a facilitator. You really could give me all sorts of different things, and I will design it in such a way. You all might even call it a curriculum designer. So so it's not that – so it doesn't need to be a passion project for me. That doesn't mean I don't have a conscience. Does that mean, Thomas, you know, you can teach war, you know, and all that? It's like, no, I still get to choose what I want to teach, but there have been plenty of times when I taught something. It's not that I didn't believe in it. It's just it wasn't a passion project, but I was damn good at it. You know, it's like, whoa, that was awesome. I learned so much from that. That's not inauthentic. We have software trainers, sales trainers that do it all the time, all day long, because they're good communicators.
Right. Now, on the other hand, if you're a keynote speaker, right, you have to take a little bit different approach, right?
I think so.
Yeah, because the whole process of building that keynote to where it's you know, ready to go, and you know, you're delivering a message with specific points and methodologies that you have. But what you're saying is that as a facilitator, it's a different deal.
Well, here's the thing. At the end of the day, I always come back to those three points. At the end of the day, this is my personal directive, I guess, to myself, is whether I'm a speaker, trainer, facilitator, whatever you want to call, is that I'm always thinking about the audience. If the audience is going to be in my presence and I have the gift and privilege to be with them for 3 hours, how can I share something in such a way that they learn it in the quickest way possible? I mean, them internalize it. Not that I teach it in the fastest way possible, but they truly understand it. They understand it. They get it. They immediately apply it and practice it so it's anchored. And probably the most important part is that they actually retain this and use it after they leave. Or what was the point? Even if I'm a motivational speaker or an inspirational speaker, it's like, that's great, and I think that's wonderful, and they think I'm a star or something like that for the 3 hours that I had them. And then what happens afterwards? So my objective is that that's what happens in that 3 hours, if I had 3 hours with the group. Mm-hmm. I don't think all people do that because I know this because I've actually known some of these individuals. Some, it is an ego thing. And let's be fair about that. There are some keynote speakers that it is an ego thing and they love doing it and performing. I don't think that's a bad thing. Not at all. Everybody speaks and they facilitate for different reasons. Mine is what I just told. That's my directive. That is my core. I don't care if I'm working for another company, whatever it is. You know, I don't care if it's a job. That's my objective. Everyone has a different reason why they're in front of that group. You know, I'm there to inspire them to take action in their life. I'm there to cause a different perspective, whatever it is. And let's be fair, what's your personal motivation? Well, you know mine, because I'm so thrilled when people actually learn something in a very short period of time, and they're just transformed. I guess I'm addicted to transformation, rapid transformation. And there's some people they'd like to see you know, they love the stage. Thoughts?
So, yeah, I'd like to go to the next part of this conversation with you, because I think a lot of our listeners would want to know what it's been like for you as far as the money goes. You know, because I know a lot of people have this idea around the money around speaking, right? And, you know, it's like, okay, it's the highest paid profession in the world, and as soon as I become a speaker, I'm going to have all this income, and I'm going to be laying on the beach in Tahiti, and they're going to be flying me to all these different places, and, you know, and I'm just going to have to work, you know, 10 days a week. And everything I hear when I'm talking to people like yourself, it's like, it's not like that. It's like there's a lot of prep time, so you're not, you know, most of the time you're not on the stage, you're prepping or selling. And you're not always going to Tahiti. Sometimes you're going to, you know, Iowa.
Des Moines.
Or wherever.
Des Moines. Yeah, that's my go-to, too. Yeah, Des Moines or Dubuque.
Right.
Yeah, yes and. This is a yes and conversation right here. Because it's very revealing. I believe that I am absolutely a source of everything that's going on in my life and all of that. And so, you know, if I complain that I'm not living a certain lifestyle, that's no one's, you know, no one else is responsible except for me. Yeah, but you don't work for an employer or whatever this, Thomas. And I'm like, you can yep up me all day long. But I think the successful individual in life takes responsibility for exactly everything that's going on. Now, that's it. I get to choose different things. I get to choose to shift the kind of results that I'm getting by the things that I'm doing and who I'm being. And so if I truly shifted, and this is not part of my vision to say, hey, I'm traveling to Tahiti and Fiji and the Caribbean and, you know, and living that lifestyle. And I'm only, you know, my vision is that I'm always in 5-star resorts. It's not currently part of my vision. I say go for it. For any speaker listening right now, there ain't nothing wrong with that. Don't take it that Bob and Thomas are telling you not to have that vision. Absolutely have that vision and then passionately pursue that result or that vision. You know, get
busy
appealing to that client and creating that lifestyle. And guess what?
Right.
The exact same things that you teach, Bob, work to get people to that place or to the place of, hey, listen, man, I just want to make, you know, I want to make $75K a year because, you know, there's that thing that says, hey, anything after $75K is kind of a law of diminishing return. Like, I mean, that has people feel safe. Or whatever it is, maybe you're a six-figure person, like, hey, I just want to make $100,000, and, man, I'm good. You know, I just want to work, and I want to work 5 days a week. You know, I want to do 5 gigs, whatever. Great, then that's your vision. There's no wrong answer with that. Pursue it, man, but you gotta have, it goes back to vision. Have the vision, and then take some kind of committed action toward that. Is that mentoring with you? I mean, you create amazing speakers, Bob. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you know some good people. You work with some awesome people. Like, can you do it? Absolutely. So if someone's looking for a 5-star lifestyle or a 3-star lifestyle, who am I to judge? There's amazing trainers and speakers out there all over the place. Some people just want to get out of their job, you know?
Thomas, I remember a couple of years ago, maybe it's longer than a couple now that I think about it, but you had set a goal, and the goal was like to speak, I think it was like over 200 times a year or something like that.
Yeah.
And you did it, and it was like, holy cow, I mean, does this guy ever sleep? what was that experience like? I mean, you were just on fire, and I remember every time I walked in the room, you were in front of the room.
I did it a couple of times.
What did that take? Yeah.
Well, you know what that is? It's called a personal stretch. I'm a big believer in I think anyone, doesn't matter what they're doing, whether a speaker or whatever, should be engaging in some kind of personal stretch. And I thought that was stretched me because it wasn't a stretch just to speak. I was looking for an edge. And I always had this mentor a long time ago, and he challenged me to that, something he did a long time ago. And he had said, because somebody asked him, hey, how did you get over your fear of public speaking? Because my mentor, it's really interesting, this mentor I deeply respected was a super, super shy guy. And he was not, I mean, he was a mess. I mean, I didn't have that kind of anxiety. But one of the things it taught me was, hey, that is a really great way to, A, just get some stage time. You know, you're focused on stage time, stretching yourself. Hey, man, you know, it's kind of like in the sales world doing dials. I know it sounds cold and abstract, but it's like you want to get better on the phone, make some calls. It sounds obvious, right? You want to get better speaking, get in front of people. Well, what does that mean? How do I get a stage? You mean you do whatever it dang well takes to get your butt in front of a group of people. I don't care if that's a radio show like this. Maybe it's three people at a small Toastmasters meeting. Maybe it's 30,000 in front of a stadium. Everywhere and anywhere, stretch yourself. You're going to learn something. You're going to get feedback about what works, what doesn't work. Do you really want this life? But most importantly is, can I be my word to myself? Can I actually choose some kind of stretch and be my word, like make good and get something done? And Bob, that brings me right squarely back around to, you know, if this show is focused on, you know, getting people to be a paid speaker, listen crystal clear. I don't care what you do, simply be your word. If make some kind of commitment, something. It's not about being a big deal to me or Bob. Say you're going to do something and do it, something you can control. That doesn't mean, hey, I'm going to make $100,000 this year. I may not be able to control that. But if you say, hey, I'm going to contact three speakers' bureaus a week, or I'm going to whatever, make certain number of calls or visits, then be your word. Make it happen. It doesn't have to be big. Just follow through with something. You know, there's nothing more annoying than mentoring someone that continues to come back and look for the, you know, they're looking for the same advice. And it's like, yeah, well, I just haven't done that. So how do you think I can get to be a paid speaker? I'm like, well, you might try doing what you said you were going to do last month. I mean, just something.
Right.
I mean, come
right.
on. You know how easy it is, Bob. I mean, simple. I should say
yep.
simple.
Yep.
It's not always
simple.
Easy because we get to choose to make something hard or simple. I mean, choose the easier or hard.
Well,
but it
you know,
can
for,
be.
For a lot of people, the hard part is picking up the phone, maybe having that conversation, even
yeah.
on the free stuff. And there's all sorts of reasons for that. But picking up that phone,
I got
having
a solution.
Those conversations, what's that? Go ahead.
I mean, I want to honor the time of the show because I know we're a live show.
but
you just cut me off wherever. I tell you, one of the easiest ways with that is, and I hear all the time, is like, listen, if you find you keep sabotaging making calls or visits, then do what I said, is start collaborating with people and helping out at their events or volunteering to work with them. It doesn't always work and lead to a gig, but you get to kind of show off that you're willing to be of support and anything. I mean, all sorts of opportunities come. Shoot, even Toastmasters International. Toastmasters. What if you were the vice president, a director of public relations or whatever they call it, you know, some officer in the club? And that gets you noticed
right.
on LinkedIn. Seriously. Or other people get to see you, or you volunteer for certain things. They're like, wow, you have a voice. Or you're, you know, I mean, these things can lead to opportunities. So it's like a warm
right.
call. Versus cold calls. I mean, I'm not a big fan of cold calls. I know you like them. I don't do that.
All right. Well, I had asked a question to Barbara. I'd like to ask you as well, because I know for some people they're important. But, you know, some people can get lost in building the digital platform, the website, the social
Yay.
Media, stuff like that. And I know you're a big advocate of, hey, those things are good to have, but you don't need them to get booked. But they're good to have at the same time. So talk a little bit about why you don't need them, and then let's talk about which ones would be important if you were going to build them so people know where to start with that stuff.
Digital platform. You mean make sure I'm –
Like website,
clarified.
Sizzle reel, one sheet, social
yeah.
media,
well,
things like that.
I got to
tell
you, everything – all of my stuff happened through relationships. No joke. My route is purely relationships, and if you ever want to dive into that, okay, Thomas, break that down. When you say relationships, what do you mean specifically? And you can start diving, you know, if you want me to dive down in that area. And that's why I'm never a huge fan of collateral, because unless – I tell you where collateral makes a big difference to my friends that are international speakers and things like that, is when you're in that global market. Are you truly already have the caliber where Bureau is looking to represent you? If you already have, I mean, you know, I'm probably kind of right at that area. I'm not currently actively pursuing conferences and keynotes and things like that, but I probably could easily have a speakers bureau, you know, join a speakers bureau once I want to go down that route because of my clientele and experience. Right? Does that make sense? I mean, I have enough of that experience. But
initially,
that typically doesn't happen. It's sort of like an actor. Is that, you know, there's an agent for everyone, but they want certain things. So that's why I'm not saying it's not the right thing to do, but don't distract. I just don't think a new speaker or a speaker is not getting paid or doesn't have a lot of credentials, and you know who you are. It's not a bad thing. We all started with zero. Nothing. And I just wouldn't distract myself. I would not spend thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars on this, on a gorgeous website, a sizzle reel, hiring a video team. That's just not me initially. Does that mean it's a wrong answer? No, not at all. It's entirely possible. People do all sorts of things. I just think it's missing the easier steps or the other steps. If you're good with relationships, then pursue that avenue. You know, work your relationships
right.
And put in your time and get stage time and get noticed and go that route. But having a fabulous website, having an amazing reel and things like that, that won't magically help you become a more connected speaker and communicator from the stage. You and I both know of people, I'm sure, the people that have more money than they have skill or talent. And then there's other folks that are so incredibly talented that I can't even believe you're not rolling in it. Like, why are you not doing anything with these skills? Because maybe they have some other roadblocks or blind spots. You know, personal type of things. And they're so incredibly talented, and they just they have no money, you know? So you got both sides of the spectrum.
Excellent. So
did that help you at all with
the
visual question?
Oh, absolutely. No,
was
no,
it a
totally
politician's
did, totally
answer?
Did.
I wasn't sure if it was a politician's answer.
Well, it kind of was, but that's okay. If people were going to start with something, if they were going to build something or start to develop their digital platform, what would you say the top three things are that they would want to start with that would be the most valuable, that they could leverage the most with their customers?
Oh, well, it's seeing something in action. I don't know. My guess is if I was going to hire somebody or even bring somebody on, or even if I was at a company and had a competition for, hey, we're really looking for a, I don't know, we're looking for a great trainer or something like that. These days, it's like, really? So do you have a recording of anything you've done? You know, some kind of recording, anything. It doesn't even have to be gorgeous. Real. Can I get a few clips? Can I see you for a couple of minutes of you in action? You keep telling me you're amazingly educated and you got all this background and training and all this, you know, stuff in writing. But if I'm hiring you as a trainer and a speaker, that's kind of important. You see what I'm saying? That's a wild card. Like, I mean, working with my business partner and my collaborations and affiliate relationships, I mean, especially one of the companies I'm working with right now, it's brought a total Fortune 100 client list to me. And it's sort of like credibility by association, you know? And so that opens a lot of doors, having really big companies on there. You know, that's kind of that's an implied endorsement. Or let's say I was mentoring with, like I had a relationship with like Anthony Robbins, Tony Robbins or something like that. That will open some doors. And I will get some, you know, I'll get past, it doesn't mean I'm a great speaker, but it could open some doors for me. So aside from that kind of thing, well, what do you have to show them? Well, let's show them you in action. I'm thinking of a friend of ours that's living in, what, Brooklyn, New York right now. I think he's an amazing communicator and trainer. He's not doing a lot of public speaking right now. I think he's getting back into it and launching that. But I, you know, I always give him credit. I think he's a wonderful stage presence. I think he's got a really great voice. And so that's a good way to show him off, is having a quick little reel. Like, show you in action, man, when you're in that passionate place and people are applauding and they're going crazy. You know, somebody ready to book you goes like, you know what, that's cool, man. You know, I don't, you know, just in case he didn't have a lot of credentials, he could definitely show people that he's an amazing communicator.
Right, right.
Testimonials.
So number one,
the other thing.
Something in action, like a sizzle reel. So, and now you're moving to testimonials.
Yeah, that was a big one.
Are you talking about?
This is that peer-to-peer thing, Bob. That's that peer-to-peer thing where okay, I hear what you're saying, I can see you and all of that, but how about my people? It's very relatable when you see some, like, actual attendees in their own words and their own voices, and they're like, man, you know, he did this, or one thing I really loved was this. And that just becomes relatable. Anything that makes you relatable, I feel.
Got it. All right. Well, I appreciate your time today, Thomas. This is really good stuff. I think there's kind of a theme going on where there's a lot of speakers that don't take the traditional path. And when I say traditional, I mean I don't mean like traditional, like everybody's taking this path. I mean traditional, like everybody thinks this is the path, which is to start out with Toastmasters, build your skill, and then go get hired by this company that you've always wanted to work for. And it hasn't been that way with the people we're talking to. It's more of what you said, more of the path that you took has been more common. The people are encouraging you to do it because they think you're good, which probably is happening if you're a fairly good speaker in your own club, you know, if you say you're in Toastmasters or one of these other organizations. And then moving on to maybe a speaker organization where they're giving you the topic and you're learning how to, you know, create the message and engage the audience and do all this stuff through this topic they've given you. And then as you develop on, you evolve from there into your own, you know, into your own topic. And again, it's not like that's the foolproof way either. It's just there's an infinite number of ways to do this, and this is just one of the ways. And hopefully some of the ideas that you've shared today and these other speakers that have been on The Advantage have shared will help open up possibilities and ideas for the people that are listening out there.
Yeah, Bob. You know,
so thanks again, Thomas.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Yeah, go ahead. Yes. Thank you so much for your time and your energy on this. I'm sure we're going to have you again on the show. We've put together a program called Paid to Speak, which is if anybody's interested in learning to be a public speaker and they want to start a speaking business, this is an excellent way to do so. We've got five different programs with four different people. Thomas is one of them, and he takes you through a lot of the skill-building techniques on how to build relationships, how to have those conversations, some processes, because people want processes, and you can follow them, and they can build results. But he lays down a solid foundation of things that you can do, practices that you can do, ways of being that can help you get booked and accelerate your results. So thanks again, Thomas. I look forward to having you on the next show, and good luck on your trip. I understand you're leaving town tomorrow, so have a great, safe trip, and until we talk again.
See you next time.
All right. Thanks, everyone, and look forward to hearing from you and seeing your posts on Facebook and Twitter, and we'll see you on the next show. Thank you so much. This is Bob Dietrich on The Advantage. Take care.